Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ.
It's Wednesday, July 29th. I'm Nishant Mama's nephew, Adwoy, and I'm going to Switzerland this week. As I was packing for my trip, my uncle asked me if I knew why people always say Swiss bank account when they're talking about secret money. I didn't. I just knew about the chocolate and the mountains. So he looked into it, and what if is wild. So we had a few questions like, why is it always a Swiss bank account? In movies, in conversation, whenever someone talks about hiding money or wealth that's untouchable, it's always Swiss. Never German, never British, always Swiss. I know vaguely that it had something to do with secrecy laws, but I couldn't have explained why a tiny mountain country with no natural resources became the place where the world's wealthiest and most powerful people have hidden their money for centuries. The answer goes back further than I expected, involving a 1934 law made it a criminal offense for a banker to reveal who their clients are and includes a popular origin story that historians say is propaganda. Switzerland manages roughly 2.7 trillion in offshore wealth, which is about a third of all offshore money in the world. And the story of how they got there is one of the more fascinating things my uncle has looked into for this show.
Okay, Nishant back here, and big shout out to my nephew Adwoy. Thank you, Adwoy, appreciate it. Okay, let's get into it. So Switzerland's banking industry didn't start with some grand plan to become the world's financial safe house. It actually started with refugees. In the 15 and 1600s, Protestant Huguenots fleeing religious persecution in France settled in Geneva, Basel, and Zurich. Many of them were skilled craftsmen and merchants, including the watchmakers who would eventually make Switzerland famous for precision timepieces. They brought capital with them, and that capital needed to go somewhere. So Swiss banks emerged to serve that demand. And from the very beginning, discretion was part of the product. By 1713, Geneva's Grand Council had established formal regulations requiring bankers to keep registries of their clients while prohibiting them from sharing that information with anyone outside the bank. That's over 300 years ago. The secrecy wasn't born in the 20th century. It was actually baked into Swiss banking culture from the start, initially to protect European aristocrats and monarchs who didn't want their rivals knowing the size of their fortunes or the details of their debts. Switzerland's geography and political identity reinforced the banking advantage at every turn. The country declared permanent neutrality in 1815 at the Congress of Vienna, which meant that while the rest of Europe spent the next two centuries fighting wars, Switzerland stayed out of all of them. Capital flows to safety, and a neutral country in the center of Europe that had a 300-year tradition of keeping financial secrets became exactly that, the safest place on the continent to park money. During World War I, when European nations raised taxes dramatically to fund the war effort, wealthy Europeans moved their assets to Switzerland to avoid the tax increases. The same thing happened during World War II, the Cold War, and pretty much every period of political instability in between. Every time the world got more dangerous, more money flowed into Swiss banks. In 1934, the Swiss Federal Assembly took the secrecy tradition and gave it to the force of criminal law. The Federal Act on Banks and Savings Banks, specifically Article 47, made it a criminal offense for anyone associated with a Swiss bank to disclose client information to any third party. Think about this for a second. Not a civil violation with a fine. They made it a criminal offense with potential prison time. The popular story taught in schools and repeated in documentaries is that this law was passed to protect Jewish depositors from Nazi confiscation. It's a good story. Swiss historian Sebastian Gex, who teaches at the University of Lausanne, has called it propaganda. The law was actually drafted in response to pressure from France and Germany, whose tax authorities had been trying for years to identify their citizens' Swiss accounts. The 1934 law wasn't about protecting victims. It was actually about protecting the bank's business model from foreign governments that wanted to tax their own citizens. Now let's get into a darker chapter of Swiss banking. The same secrecy that attracted legitimate capital also attracted money that had no business being protected. During World War II, Swiss banks accepted gold and assets from Nazi Germany, some of which had been looted from the national treasuries of occupied countries and, in some cases, taken from Holocaust victims, including gold melted down from jewelry, dental filings, and personal belongings. Swiss banks also held accounts opened by Jewish families before and during the war, families who were subsequently murdered in the Holocaust. After the war, when survivors and their heirs tried to reclaim those accounts, Swiss banks demanded their death certificates, which concentration camps obviously didn't issue, and used the same secrecy laws that were supposedly passed to protect depositors as justification for not releasing information about the accounts. In the 1990s, after decades of pressure, independent auditors were brought in to investigate. They found tens of thousands of dormant accounts that should have been traceable to Holocaust victims, many of which had been handled in ways that benefited the banks rather than their rightful heirs. In 1998, UBS and Credit Suisse agreed to a $1.25 billion settlement to resolve the claims, reached under a threat of sanctions that would have cut them off from the U.S. financial system. The reputational damage was enormous. Switzerland had built its entire financial brand on trustworthiness, and the dormant accounts crisis revealed a specific and devastating way in which that trust had been exploited. The Holocaust accounts weren't the only dark chapter. Over the decades, Swiss banking secrecy sheltered money from dictators, arms dealers, drug cartels, and corrupt politicians from around the world. Ferdinand Marcos of the Philippines, Mobutu Sese Seko of Zaire, and dozens of other kleptocrats used Swiss accounts to stash wealth stolen from their own countries. The system didn't ask them where the money came from, because asking was never part of the business model. The product was silence, and for most of the 20th century, the silence was absolute. So what finally broke the system? Well, the first major cracks came in 2007, when a former UBS banker named Bradley Birkenfield walked into the U.S. Department of Justice and told them that UBS was actively helping American citizens evade taxes through hidden Swiss accounts. His information led to an investigation that resulted in UBS paying a $780 million fine and, more significantly, handing over the names of roughly 4,500 American account holders. It was the first time a major Swiss bank had been forced to break secrecy for foreign government's tax investigation, and it shattered the perception that Swiss bank secrecy was untouchable. The U.S. followed up with the Foreign Tax Compliance Act, known as FATCA or FATCA, in 2010, which required foreign banks to report information about American account holders or face being cut out of the financial system entirely. Switzerland resisted, but eventually complied because the alternative, which is losing access to American capital markets, was worse than loosening secrecy. In 2017, Switzerland adopted the Common Reporting Standard, an international framework for automatic exchange of banking information between countries for tax purposes. The system now shares client names, addresses, tax numbers, and account details with participating countries, though not bank account balances or any other asset information. Switzerland still manages roughly $2.7 trillion in offshore wealth, about a third of global total. It remains one of the wealthiest countries on earth per capita, with a GDP per person of over $100,000, among the highest in the world. The banking industry, combined with pharmaceuticals, precision manufacturing, and yes, watches and chocolate, has made the country of 8.5 million people one of the richest in the world relative to its size. The secrecy that built the financial industry has been significantly eroded over the past two decades, but the wealth, the infrastructure, and the institutional expertise that accumulated over three centuries of being the world's vault haven't gone anywhere. The product changed, but the advantage remained. Here's what I'm taking away from this story. The popular version of Swiss banking says that Switzerland created banking secrecy to protect people from fascism. The historical record says that they created it to protect their business model from foreign tax collectors. And then the same secrecy that was supposed to be noble ended up sheltering Nazi gold, dictator money, and tax evasion on a global scale. A country of 8.5 million people manages a third of the world's offshore wealth because 300 years ago, they figured out that silence is a product, and they've been selling it ever since. My nephews are going to see the mountains and the chocolate, but underneath all of that is a financial system that shaped how the world moves money, and the cracks in it are still widening. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.